not touchy. Y'all know what touchy is? You always upset about something. Always just touchy, just touchy. Just always, you know, amen, amen. Everybody say, I love Pastor Josh. Hey, it said love is not touchy. It's not always, you know, got everybody around you walking on eggshells. We got cuts all over the soles of our feet because we always walking on eggshells around you because you never know. If somebody said the wrong thing to you, you touchy. You touchy. You always upset about something. Amen. Can't lead people like that. That's an unstable leader. Amen. No child wants to live in a home where you never know what kind of parent you're coming home to after school. You never know. You never know if they had a good day, they're going to be good. If they had a bad day, they're going to be bad. Don't no baby want to come home to that. Don't no church member want to come into church on Sunday with a pastor. They don't know what kind of pastor they're going to get. They don't know, well, maybe if he had a good night last night, we're going to be good. And if he had a bad night, he's going to chew us all out or whatever. No. Amen. Not touchy. I've been told people, I am unoffendable, completely and entirely unoffendable. You can't offend me. And y'all don't believe me. I promise you, you can't offend me. Because in order for an offense to take root, that means that I sat on it too long. Now, I might get frustrated with you for 0.2 seconds, and then I don't hold on to it. An offense is when you take that and you take it unto yourself. You start to become bitter. You become offended. All right. In a moment, I might go, ooh, why'd they do that? And then after that, I'm like, I don't care why they did that. Not my problem. I got a full-time job worrying about me. You can't offend me. Can't offend me. But I've pastored people in the past that have had such a spirit of offense. It's like they're determined to be offended. You say good morning, and then they're like, well, what you think? You think it's a good morning? I don't know. I don't know why you think it's a good morning. And then you don't speak to them. They're like, well, Pastor ain't even said nothing to me today. He's just acting like I don't exist. And then you say, hey, your hair looks nice. Well, what Pastor think about my hair? I don't know why he talking about my hair. Don't he know I ain't done my hair in a few weeks? He know my roots showing. And then when we don't compliment your hair, I got my hair done. Ain't nobody even noticed it. It's like you just come in here ready to be mad. You just come in here looking for something to be mad about. Amen. Say, I love Pastor Josh. Let's move on. Is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, and it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That means delete the screenshots. You don't need them no more. People like, I got receipts. People will. They're like, I got the text that they sent me. If everybody knew what they had said to me, amen. Hallelujah. Takes no account of the evil done unto it. Hallelujah. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Doesn't pay any attention to it. Well, don't you know what they did to me? Well, no, I don't know, and I don't care. Well, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. People always keeping score. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. This is the word of God, amen? Everybody say this. Say, the Bible is God speaking to me. Now find your favorite person in the room, your favorite person. Don't all y'all look at me. I know I'm your favorite person. Find your other favorite person. And say, the Bible is God speaking to you. And so I want you to hear how clear and open these evers are. Every is ever ready to believe the best of every person. But what if they've burnt me 8 times and I know they're about to burn me again? Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. I know it. Because see, I deal with a lot of people that struggle with addiction. And so I know, all right? And a lot of times they're like, can I borrow $5 till I get my check? You're not paying me back. You're not paying me back. You know, you're not going to pay me back, okay? I understand. And then the Bible comes and says, love believes the best about every person. Love believes that even if this is the 37th time that they've come to church and they leave every time, this is going to be the time they stay. This is going to be the time that they hook in. Amen. Every person, its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. You can't make my hope fade. I always believe in you. always believe in you. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. I like that because some of us endure everything, but we endure it with weakening. We grow weak in endurance. Like that deck that hot tub was on. It's like it's enduring it, but them boards is bending a little bit. This says love endures it without even weakening. Without even weakening, love endures it all. Without ever faltering, without ever even showing that it's frustrated, without weakening, love never fails, never fades, or becomes obsolete. Love never comes to an end. That book that I read from Henry Drummond, he says this, the moments that you have really lived in life will be the moments that you have really loved. You think about the moments of your life that you really lived, like in those moments, they were the moments that I really loved. You really loved somebody. Look back, I've done a lot of different things, but the moments that really marked me, were moments like my wedding day, where love was involved. Moments like walking through St. Louis, Missouri, barefoot, looking like, because I'm talking about, it was shoes just like this that I lost. I hope these never get rid of me. You know? But I was, and I had an outfit just like this, but I had a button down and my watch on. We was walking through St. Louis, Missouri. We was on a trip with some friends. And the Holy Ghost said, walk around this corner. And everybody lost me. Because I was following the Holy Ghost. And I'm bad about when I'm following the Holy Ghost, I don't communicate well. That's why Adrian gets so frustrated with me in the services. Because he's supposed to be my right-hand guy, but he's like, I can't be your right-hand guy if I don't know where you're going or what you're doing. I'm like, I'm flowing. I don't know. And so anyway, I'm not good at communicating with people. I got to learn that when I'm following the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, go around this corner. And so then Pastor Hope and two of our friends kept walking in the direction they was walking. I'm like, I'll get up with y'all. We in the middle of downtown St. Louis, Missouri. I mean, okay. And so I'm like, I'm going to get up with y'all when I get up with y'all. And then I find them later, and they're like, this fool ain't got no shoes on. He done got mugged. No, what had happened was I walked up, and the Holy Ghost led me to a homeless man who was sitting outside wanting something to eat. And I walked him in, and I said, come into this pizza place, and I'll buy you a piece of pizza. And the man that owned the pizza place looked at me and said, he can't come in here. It says no shirt, no shoes, no service. I said, put these on. Let me put them back on because my feet stink. Those are the moments, and then I walk up to them, and they're like, where are your shoes at? I'm like, we can keep walking, but we got to go back to the apartment we were staying in because I need some shoes because I'm walking around. These are the moments that you've really loved and you've really lived. These are the moments that mark your life. Amen. Not all this other stuff that just fills up space. Moments that you've really, really loved. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 in this translation, it's called the Jordan translation. It says, love is not envious, nor does it strut and brag. Some of y'all need to break down your strut a little bit. You've been strutting too much. Love ain't strutting or bragging. It does not act up, nor try to get things for itself. This one's so good, I'm going to use this on my children when they get a little older. It pitches no tantrums. Talked about, it takes no account of the evil done to it. This is what this translation says. It keeps no books on insults or injuries. Some people can barely file their taxes, but they can keep great books on what people have done to them. I mean, they all of a sudden become bookkeepers of the, I mean, can just keep a hold of everything that somebody's done. Remember, I had a conversation with somebody a few years ago. They come up to me, and this person had been at our church for a few years. Before that, I knew they were at a different church. And this person come up to me, and because I knew they had been in our church for a few years. And so I knew that they started to tell me about this story of what had happened at the church they were at before they come to our church. And I knew it had to have been a few years because they've been at our church a few years. And they started telling me I was doing this, and this man come up to me, and da-da-da-da, and they said all this. And all of a sudden, they're sweating. And I looked at them, their face done turned red. And I'm like, you upset, right? He's like, yeah, just thinking about it makes me mad all over again. I'm like, it's been so many years and you getting mad all over again about something that happened so many years ago. And I'm telling you, this person, I love him so much. This person, because the Lord's done moved him into another ministry. And this person could barely remember what they ate for breakfast, but was recalling such vivid details about what this person had done to them these years ago. Keeping books, keeping books. It's an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to do. Amen. Why don't we get better at remembering the good things people do to us and forgetting the bad stuff? People do all this good stuff to us and we'll forget about it so easily, but somebody does one bad thing to us, we can say every detail, what time it was when they did it, where we was when we did it. Amen? I mean, what is it? I love him, but Brother Donald, he can tell you the time it was, the day it was, when he got the text that his wife said, I'm leaving you. Where he was, all of it. But can barely remember what he ate earlier in the day. It was probably Jason's Deli. Yeah, you have to know Brother Donald. Love him with all my heart. And so it's something we've all got to look at and say, why don't we work harder on forgetting the bad stuff? Because bad things happen to us all the time, and bad things happen to us through people that do bad things to us all the time. And we have such an easy time remembering those things and such a hard time remembering the good things that happen to us. Amen. It pitches no tantrums, keeps no books on insults or injuries. It sees no fun in wickedness, but rejoices when truth prevails. Love is all embracing, all trusting, all hoping, all enduring. Love never quits. It never quits. Amen. In the Hayford, you remember Jack Hayford? He went home to be with the Lord, I think, just a couple years ago. But he has a translation of the Bible. In the Hayford translation of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, these same verses, it says this, love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Oh, that's so good. Because I know imperfect people. I know them well. I know because I am imperfect people. Love is suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Love is kind and active in doing good. I like that, active in doing good. Doing something good today. Not, well, I did something good a few years ago, or I did something good a few weeks ago, or did. No, no, no. Active in doing good. You know, in school, they would talk to us about random acts of kindness, and we all thought that was so corny, you know, elementary school, high school. No, why don't you find something good to do for somebody today? It'll make you feel good. It'll cure your depression. I promise you it will. Active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is non-possessive and non-competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Wow. It actually wants other people to be better off. And this one got me because this is a problem that pastors have, and every pastor battles it. It is non-possessive. That means you beautiful people that I love with all of my heart, that God has entrusted me to be as I am a steward as your pastor for a season. If at any point God leads you in a different direction, I don't own you. And pastors get personally hurt a lot of times because people leave their church. Love is non-possessive. I never owned you. You're free to go whenever you want to. Now, you have to understand the flip side, that sometimes we know you out of the will of God. So it hurts because we know that you weren't supposed to leave and you did. But other times it's just the fact of you get associated with people leaving. I read a study one time, and this just, you know, it's for you leaders, but maybe so y'all will love me a little better. But I read a study one time that in the average person's life, they lose 3 close people, meaning through death or through divorce or through, in the average person's life, there's 3 people that they've allowed to come intimate to them and they lose. In the pastor's life, it's 31. Because we have a habit, because of our calling, that we bring people in. We let them get close, and then they say, well, I'm going to go on down the street and go somewhere else, some other church, because they'd look cuter than you. They're a little skinnier in their skinny jeans or whatever. And then and it hurts, because if you get hurt when your wife leaves you, when your friends don't want to be your friend anymore, when your people that you thought was cool all of a sudden leave, it's that much harder for us because they're connected to our spirits and people leave. And sometimes God is actually moving people, and we have to remind ourselves we're non-possessive. We don't own any people. God's people. He asks us to be stewards of God's people, but they're ultimately God's people, and he can move them at any point he chooses to. Amen. Non-possessive, non-competitive. Actually wants others to get ahead. There used to be a thing among the pastors in Moundville because there was a study that came out in the early 2000s. It's not exactly accurate for our church, and it may not be accurate for many churches anymore because times change in the last 20 years. But there was a study that came out among ministers in the early 2000s that for each car, there's 2.5 people that rode in that car to church. So you can ride on a Sunday morning past a church parking lot and go two and a half, and start counting up how many people they had in there on a Sunday morning. That don't work for us because all the married couples drive separate cars, and all the teenagers drive different cars, and you have a family. I mean, sometimes I pull up in here like tonight, and it's this many in here, and I'm telling you, I just looked out there, the parking lot's almost full because everybody come in their cars, okay? So, but, you know, used to, I remember just even recently, we drove past I forget what day it was, but we were driving to church on a Sunday morning and we drove past Indian Mounds Baptist Church and I said, oh, Brother Charles ain't doing good today. And she said, mind your business. And then we drove past the Nazarene Church and I said, oh, Brother Steinberg ain't doing good today. And then I pulled into our church and I said, oh, we not doing good today. But love is non-competitive. It actually wants, if you leave my church and go to another church, I'm happy for that pastor because I want their church to grow. Whoa, actually wants others to get ahead. And people say, well, I'm just a competitive person by nature. Uh-uh, love is non-competitive. While y'all screaming up Family Feud. Love is not competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely. But it displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own. Let me talk about that good manners and courtesy. At VLC, men, you open the door for ladies. Okay? You open the door for ladies. People ask, well, why do I have Adrian up here when Pastor Joy or any of the singers are getting off the platform? Does she need help off the platform? Baby, it's two steps. Don't nobody need help off that platform. But at VLC, if a woman of God approaches the platform or is coming off the platform, a man of God is going to say, I got you, sis. Because if you're going to lead people, love should be good manners. Just certain ways we do things. We're just mannerly. Mannerly people. There's just a certain way you do things. Amen. It's not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It has good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable. Ever felt irritable? Amen. I'm just a little irritable. And then people are like, what's wrong? No, I'm just a little irritable today. I'm just a little, just a little, ugh. Just don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't breathe my air. Love is not pregnant. Amen. Praise God. Love is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. Everybody say think. It's a thought issue because we've got this in our head in 2024. Well, I didn't say it. No, but you thought it. And love is a thought issue. Amen. It's graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcoming of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good in other people. Oh, that's so good. Aggressively advertising the good in other people. I remember Brother Hagin telling a story one time in one of his books on love that, when he was coming up, there was a man that was just mean to everybody. He was just a mean old man, just mean, okay? You know, sometimes people just mean. And nobody really liked him because he was just a mean, gruff old man. One of them get off my lawn people. He was a hard boss to work for, and he was mean to all the people in the community, and he passed away. And he passed away, and everybody's sitting around talking about how mean he was, kind of like you could picture in the movie A Christmas Carol, how they all talking about Scrooge and how awful he was when once he died. That's how they're doing, and Brother Hagin was just part of this conversation, didn't say nothing. And then he said, you know what? That man had the prettiest eyes. Well, if that's all you can come up with, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to find something good to advertise about somebody else. Something good. Something good. You know, here's